Saturday morning, everybody. It is the very first Saturday of June. Welcome into the scoreboard. Justin Carlton's at the controls. Jeff Links alongside. I'm David Jones. We are coming at you live from the Roof Work Studio, brought to you by Foothills Auto Mart in Lenore. It's the scoreboard on Kicks 103.3. Speaking of Foothills Auto Mart, our good buddies, Buddy and Eric, I kind of slipped into that one a little bit. They are opening the doors as we speak. You know where they're located by now. We've been telling you about them for years. 1326 Hickory Boulevard, right across from Lowe's Home Improvement Warehouse. They will be there until 1:30 or so today. Feel free to give them a call, 759-9460, as Jeff Link tears up all the office equipment in the studio this morning. The website is open 24/7, foothillsautomart.com. They are your all-season driving headquarters. Compact cars to full-size SUVs, four-wheel drive trucks, side-by-sides, boats, trailers, motorcycles. If it's got wheels, Buddy and Eric are the guys to go see for all your season, all-season driving needs. Foothills Auto Mart. Go by, tell them we said hello. We appreciate them keeping us on the air. Again, check out the inventory 24/7, foothillsautomart.com. Big show today. We got a lot to tell you about. South Point Lady Red Raiders from down in Belmont playing for a state title in about 2 hours in Lady Soccer. The East Lincoln Lady Mustangs and the Burns Bulldogs played last night in the first round of the softball and baseball state championship series. Best 2 out of 3. We'll tell you how they did. NASCAR stops in St. Louis tomorrow after 2 straight weeks in North Carolina. Freshly drafted quarterback Bryce Young continues to impress in Charlotte. The NCAA baseball road to Omaha started yesterday. Pretty good day for the ACC. Good day for the state of North Carolina, except where we had 2 games where 4 teams played each other from our state. We'll get you caught up on that. Coming up at 9:20. Super, super excited to welcome into the show the state's newest national champion, Greg Paradine, won a natty when he played lacrosse at UNC Chapel Hill in the early 90s. Now, he's brought the second national championship in 100 years to Lenore Ryan University. The Bears lacrosse team manhandled Mercyhurst last Sunday up at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, 20-5. Juju Phillips calls the Paradine family the first family of lacrosse in our state. When you hear about the coach's kids, you'll understand why. At the end of the show today, I have got a big personal announcement to make. Something really cool happened to me just a little while back, and I'm going to tell you about it. And I have an upcoming appearance on national, I guess even international, television tomorrow night on NBC here in the Catawba Valley. Can't wait to tell you about that. Jeff and Justin are going to help me break that news. Monday night, not Sunday night. Monday night. And the last bit of information before we get started, Jeff. It's alumni game day for Post 29, a great chance to get out to MS Deal, see the boys of summer who are a little longer in the tooth now. Some of those guys still pretty young out there playing. But go by and see former coach Myron Day. As far as I know, the plan is still for Coach Day to be out there and go see those guys tonight. 29ers stumbled a little bit out of the gate as American Legion Baseball really just begins to get a little momentum as the high school season is winding down now. So get out there to MS Dill Stadium tonight. Check out the boys of summer. Go see some of those guys get dirty again. It's been a while for them in a uniform. So that's the whole setup. That's what we got on the show today, so we're looking forward to Coach Paradine. Let's start with the high school stuff, and Justin, I'll get you to drop the beat for us, and we will kick off this first segment in style, as we did have one state championship in soccer played last night. Audrey Kell won that one, so that's the 4A. Close-ish to us is the 3A game. The South Point Lady Red Raiders are taking on Eastern Alamance. That's the home of the Fighting Steve Hobbs, in case you're wondering. Both of those teams undefeated. South Point 20-0-3. Eastern Alamance 19-0-1. In case you're curious, the 2A schools, Wheatmore at 24-0, taking on the Manteo Redskins 24-0-2. And at 1A, Woods Charter taking on one of Jeff Link's favorite teams, Christ the King. So you hesitate to say anything bad about them because of the name of the school, but it's still a couple of charter / private / parochial schools there.
Did you watch Nick Stevens? Did you keep up with Nick Stevens' live tweet of the Senate meeting this week?
I did not know. I was.
They had talking about the bill 686, and we've had Nick Stevens. I know that's not what this segment's about, but We've got some really dumb people in Raleigh. That's all I'm going to say. I'm a politician myself. Mm-hmm. I've never claimed to be smart, but I'm smart enough to know, stay in your lane. We got some people who know nothing about sport. And they just don't like the NCHSAA, and they don't like Q Tucker. Right. And, I mean, it's funny because Nick Stevens is being unbiased in his reporting. He was putting a quote out, this senator said this, and then he was, like, fact-checking it as he was going along. He was right. Like, well, this isn't true because X, Y, and Z. But our buddy, and I don't think he's with the High School Athletic Association anymore, James Halverson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think, did James step down or left?
I think he has moved on, yes.
But he, so he was very vocal in some of his responses, pretty much saying, these people are idiots. So, anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
Well, no, the thing is, it's okay to not know what you don't know. Ignorance is not a crime. I mean, there's plenty of things I'm ignorant about. But just don't, whenever you mix ignorance and arrogance, that's a bad combination.
Yeah.
That's a bad combination.
Yeah. Well, I really am worried about if the legislature, again, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. You know, these are just a couple of mouths. There's two or three mouths that are pushing this and saying this, but if they get their way, high school athletes. I mean, and you know, we've got issues, and we talked about that, but they're working towards, I think they're getting some momentum. They're doing some things, but when you've got the Coaches Association, you got your Athletic Directors Associations, you got all these associations that are all on the same page saying, leave this alone. Don't throw out the baby with the wash and this whole thing. And not, they are. They're bound and determined. And, you know, you give this to Catherine Truitt, the state superintendent, who I've met before. Great lady. Very smart lady. I like her. She has 15,000 other things to do as state superintendent besides run high school athletics.
Yes. Thank you. That are far more important. Mm-hmm. Far more important. We've got to get roads fixed. We got to get bridges fixed. We've got to get retirement secured for state employees. We've got plenty of things that we've got
to
do.
All right, I'm sorry. I got us down the rabbit hole. Justin's over here pointing at his watch. Get us back on track.
All right, we'll get back on track then. Let's jump to high school softball. These are best 2 out of 3 series. Hickory Ridge beat Apex last night 3-0. Union Academy over North Duplin 13-3. West Stanley, they just keep winning. They beat Midway 4-2. The East Lincoln Lady Mustangs fell last night to Western Alamance 6-4. So what that means is all those teams that lost yesterday, they've got to win 2 games today, and that includes the East Lincoln Lady Mustangs. They've got to take 2 over Western Alamance to claim a state championship. Baseball also getting underway last night down at 1A Uwari Charter. They were the team that knocked out Drone in extra innings. They beat Northmore last night 2-1 in 8 innings.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a good baseball game. T.C. Roberson knocked off Wake Forest 10-0. Run ruled them. West Henderson knocked off J.H. Rose 6-2. And your Burns Bulldogs from downtown Lawndale, North Carolina, they beat South Granville 6-1. So the Burns Bulldogs got 2 games to win 1 today, and they will be your state champion. This is the first championship game appearance in the 57-year history of the Burns Bulldogs. So good luck to Burns. Hope they pull it off a little bit later today. And, Jeff, I guess with that, we can transition from high school baseball to college baseball because the NCAA started their road to Omaha yesterday. And if you watched our Facebook Live video, by the way, you can follow us on social media at facebook.com/CVBlitz, at Link Jeffrey, and at Scoreboard Radio on Twitter. It was a great day for the state of North Carolina yesterday. It was a great day for the ACC, the really only fly in the ointment. NC State played Campbell, so one North Carolina team had to lose. Duke played Wilmington, so one North Carolina team had to lose. In those instances, both the ACC teams won. State beat Campbell 6-1. Groover with 2 home runs. Duke manhandled Wilmington. I think that was 12-3.
Yeah, 12-3 that they won. So, you look at the other teams. North Carolina is playing out. And I really thought, and listening to a lot of the baseball talk this week, I had a lot of college baseball talk in my ear. And everybody was talking about it. And I know people think, okay, here goes Jeff piling on North Carolina. A lot of folks felt like North Carolina had a great draw. They were going out to Indiana State.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a – North Carolina was the name brand team in that regional. You had Iowa and North Carolina, kind of the big boys, but then you had Indiana State, which was hosting, and I believe Indiana
State. For the first time ever.
Yeah, and I believe Indiana State was at Ryder, or not Ryder, I saw them play last night, Wagner, maybe, is who they were playing. But nonetheless, great ball game last night between North Carolina and Iowa. North Carolina falls to Iowa by one run, 5-4, and then it was...
Did you see how it ended, though? No. Carolina was down 5-1 going into the ninth. They led off with a walk. They homered. They singled. Fielder's choice. They changed pitchers. Cut to the chase. Carolina had cut it from 5-1 to 5-4. Had a runner on third and one out. Go-ahead run at the plate. And a kid for Iowa came in. His last name was Llewellyn. And struck out Frick and Stokely. And the Hawkeyes, who had already won like 42 games, moved on. But Carolina put on a heck of a rally, just came up one run short last night.
They'll play Wright today, right?
Wright State.
Yeah, Wright State was the other team in that region. Indiana State beat them yesterday 6-5.
And that's an elimination game.
Yeah, so that'll be an elimination game. Coastal Carolina lost last night. They're hosting that down in Conway. They fell to Ryder. That was the game I got home in
that
time to watch
shock.
Last night. Yeah, that was a good game. Watched the end of that one. A high-scoring game, I believe 11-10 was the final score in that one. And we had another high-scoring game that involved an ACC team, Troy, playing Boston College. Troy from the Sun Belt, they went 11-10 over Boston College last night. Not a
that
lot of
upset.
That was
in Tuscaloosa. A lot of people thought Boston College should have hosted a regional this year.
Them and Duke, they felt like both those. Clemson won easily, looking at some of the ACC teams. 12-5, Virginia, no problem whatsoever with Army. They won 15-1. Over Army, Kentucky, they get the 4-0 win. Did you see all the issues with Kentucky hosting the regional?
Yeah, like,
ran out of hotel rooms.
Yeah, ran out of hotel rooms.
Yeah, because you had
kids.
Yeah, you had all the in Lexington, good sized city. I mean, not as big as Charlotte, but a Greensboro type. If you've never been through Lexington, they've hosted Final Fours before. They've hosted the Final Four.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time.
Yeah, 1986, I believe, was when they hosted it. But ran out of hotel rooms because they had all this stuff going on in Lexington this weekend. So they had to put the teams up in dorm rooms.
Yep.
That was what they did. Put them up in the freshman dorm rooms. And so.
And listen, in case you don't know the difference, the Marriott, much nicer than a freshman dorm. Much nicer than a freshman dorm. So let's take a look at the teams playing today from our state. You've got Charlotte. They lost to Tennessee yesterday. They're going up against Lipscomb. Yeah. That's an elimination game. The Campbell Camels, who many thought might come out of that Columbia, South Carolina bracket. The Camels were the highest scoring team in Division I college baseball this year. They get Central Connecticut in an elimination game. Jeff's already mentioned North Carolina and Wright State going down today. Boston College taking on Nichols. You like the Eagles in that one, Jeff. What about this matchup? This one fascinates me. This is the we're going back to the old school. Maryland and Wake Forest. That's the winner's bracket, but Wake Forest is the overall number one seed in the tournament. You'd like to see Wake. That's the only national championship the Demon Deacons have. They won the national title, I think, in 55 or something like that in baseball. That should be a good one. In a game that will involve a lot of orange, Tennessee and Clemson play tonight at 6. Another game that will involve a lot of orange, Texas and Miami play tonight at 6. East Carolina, always good in baseball. They take on the Virginia Cavaliers. And in a battle of, I guess Ray Tanner's not the coach anymore. See the AD at South Carolina now? So former NC State coach Ray Tanner, former South Carolina coach, current South Carolina AD Ray Tanner, going up against the Wolfpack. That's tonight at 6 in Columbia. Duke, as you mentioned, Jeff, going up against Ryder. And that's all the ACC / State of North Carolina games that's going on today in the NCAA tournament. The NCAA tournament is a little bit like the hockey playoffs. Just get in. If you can. And last year, Exhibit A, Mississippi State, last team in. They win the national title.
Yeah, and didn't even make it this year. Ole Miss last year. Mississippi State was 2 years ago.
Oh, was that? Okay, last team in
but,
2 years ago.
Yeah, and neither one of those teams are in it. The state of Mississippi shut out of – didn't even make it into the SEC tournament because only the top 12 teams get to go to the SEC tournament or 10 teams or something like that. And so they didn't even make it into the SEC tournament. You're past two national champions. That tells you how good SEC baseball is. College softball, the College World Series is underway. They got things started on Thursday Tennessee defeated Alabama 10-5. Oklahoma, the number one overall seed, they took care of Stanford 2-0. Florida State won 8-0 in a game that was rain shortened against Oklahoma State. They didn't get the last game in, so Utah and Washington had to play yesterday, their first round game. Washington won 4-1 over Utah, a matchup of teams from the same conference there, the Pac-10. So you had a winner's bracket game. You had Stanford took on Alabama in elimination game. Stanford won yesterday 2-0 to eliminate Alabama. So Alabama 0-2 barbecue. Oklahoma State, they're trying to rally. This tournament, the College World Series, is being played out in Oklahoma City. So you know there's going to be a lot of Oklahoma State and Oklahoma fans there. Oklahoma State, they stay alive. They defeat Utah 8-0. So Utah and Alabama are the first two teams to be sent packing. So that sets us up this afternoon. You've got Oklahoma, the number one overall seed, against number four seed Tennessee. And then you've got Florida State representing the ACC taking on Washington. That game is at 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN. A lot of talk about Oklahoma. Can they be beat? There was a lot of talk about this. Give me Oklahoma. You take the field.
Right.
Oklahoma struggled last week against Clemson. Clemson should have won ended up being the game, too. Clemson should have won that one. Oklahoma found a way to win. Yesterday, Oklahoma had to put things together late against Stanford to squeak out the victory 2-0 over Stanford. Actually, that was on Thursday. So, Tennessee scores a lot of runs.
Yes.
This is a high-powered offense. That's going to be a good one this afternoon. I think Tennessee, you like Tennessee's chances maybe to give Oklahoma. I believe Oklahoma's won, is it 52 games in a row or something ridiculous like that now?
I watched them beat Oklahoma State the other night.
Yeah, so you got an opportunity if you're Tennessee, if you can put some runs up. But I think if you're a fan of the ACC, if you're a fan of Florida State, you like Florida State's chances to come out of the bottom side of that bracket taking on Washington today. Washington, the thing about Washington, you go back to 2 weeks ago in the regionals, Washington was hosting Nichols State. Had Washington on the ropes. Washington had to score 7 runs in the bottom of the 7th inning to avoid elimination. Went on to win the Super Regional last week. But you talk about Washington kind of feeling like they're playing with house money at this point. But I would think Florida State, they're playing really well right now, obviously, in the College World Series. But if you're a Florida State fan, you like your chances against Washington tonight to make it out into the winner's bracket final.
As we head into our first break and look forward with talking to Lenore Ryan lacrosse coach Greg Paradine next, we'll finish up this segment with a happy anniversary. It was back in 2018 that the South Caldwell Lady Spartans went 25-5. They won the state championship at 4A. Jeff Link and I were calling the game on WJRI back then. Jeff, I know you remember it well. Lady Spartans lost game one. They win back-to-back games. It went 8 innings. Take you back to the time machine. Ciara Hansen with the single into center field drove in 2 runs. Reagan Wiesner, 2-for-4, 3 RBIs. She was the MVP. The Spartans did it as a 5th seed. Coincidentally, LR also did it as a 5th seed. But congratulations to Casey Justice and the South Caldwell Lady Spartans. That was a great memory. Great for me being down at the Dell Softball Complex at NC State.
Beat, I thought that Hoggard. Was 2019, but you're right. That was 2018. Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, 5.
Justin was really young back then.
He was. He was still in high school back then. But good memories back then. That was a good trip. That was a long weekend.
Yeah, because they started Friday night and it got rained out.
Yep.
And so we had to play Saturday.
Yep.
And then had to come back and play the final game on Sunday. Had finished game one Saturday. And what was funny was a lot of those memories showing up in Facebook.
Yeah.
The Facebook memories. I watched our preview video because we did the scoreboard that morning.
From
Justin,
down
there, you were back
here.
And we did the scoreboard from there and went right into the broadcast because we started at 10 o'clock. And Q Tucker stopped by.
She came by on the breezeway and grabbed her.
I grabbed her.
Accosted her.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not in the state legislature. Will you please talk to me? She said yes.
Yes.
What I remember most about that, I thought it was at the then head basketball coach, NC State, Mark Gottfried, let us sleep in his basement over the weekend. I thought that was nice of him.
Yeah, it was.
Impermissible benefits for all of us. We got to take a timeout. On the other side, we're going to welcome in the state's newest national champion. His name's Greg Paradine. He took LR all the way to the promised land last Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. Let's talk lacrosse on the scoreboard, brought to you by Foothills Auto Mart in the Roofwork Studio on Kicks, where the Catawba Valley goes to talk sports.
Hi, this is Kelly Bentley with Blue Moose Coffee Lodge. Were you running late to work today? Just didn't have time to stop by and get that coffee? Or are you at work and you just can't get away for your afternoon pick-me-up? Well, guess what? Blue Moose Coffee Lodge now delivers with DoorDash. Go straight to the DoorDash app and simply order your favorite drink from Blue Moose Coffee Lodge and choose from a variety of our delicious desserts, and we'll have it delivered right to you. Now your day just got better with Blue Moose Coffee Lodge.
The Caldwell County Health Department wants you to stay healthy all season and help prevent respiratory viruses. So they're reminding you to wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Clean and disinfect surfaces regularly. Get your flu vaccine and COVID-19 boosters. Stay at home when you're sick and mask up when you're around others who are symptomatic. Keep yourself and those around you healthy all season long. Brought to you by the Caldwell County Health Department.
At Settlemyer Nursery, we have been helping our community create beautiful landscapes for over 5 decades. Come shop where you will get real customer service from our family-owned and operated business. Our summer hours are Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 8 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8 to 2. Closed Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Shop online anytime at SettlemyerNursery.com.
Hey, this is two-time NASCAR champion Joey Logano. Planet Fitness is now open in Lenoir. Come see me as I'll be stopping by the new Planet Fitness Club on 843 Blowing Rock Boulevard in Lenoir, North Carolina on Tuesday, June 6th from 5 to 7 p.m. Don't miss out on a fun night with Planet Fitness as we'll be celebrating with food, giveaways, and I'll be there signing autographs and taking photos. You can join for just $1 down and $10 a month. See you Tuesday, June 6th at the Planet Fitness in Lenoir, North Carolina.
All Lenoir Rhine. The final seconds tick away. History is made in Division II men's lacrosse. For the first time ever, Lenoir Rhine wins the Division II national championship. The Bears have done it. They bring the trophy home to Hickory, North Carolina.
Welcome back into the scoreboard, everybody. That's how it sounded last Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, where your Lenoir Rhine lacrosse team manhandled Mercyhurst 20-5. Welcome back into the scoreboard. Justin Carlton, Jeff Link, David Jones hanging out with you. We're happy to welcome in to the show this morning. He won a national championship when he was a player back in the day at Carolina. He has now brought just the second national championship in the 100 years of LR to Hickory. His name is Greg Paradine, and he joins us this morning on the scoreboard. Coach, congratulations, and how did that Gatorade shower feel after the game last Sunday?
It was the best shower I ever took.
Coach, I'm telling you, I saw you on the sidelines during the game, man. You look like you could still play.
I try to work off some stress during the season, and exercise is the way to do it.
Well, I think when a lot of folks look at that score of 20-5 over Mercyhurst, they see the score differential, the offensive outburst. You guys jumped on them 6-0, had them down 13 goals at halftime. It's easy to look at those numbers. But what I saw was a suffocating defense, and every coach at every level loves the old cliche, defense wins championships. And I really thought it was you guys' ability to lock down the ball and keep Mercyhurst out of scoring opportunities. I really thought that was what carried this lacrosse team. Now, I'm very unknowledgeable about lacrosse, but how close am I to the truth there? Because your defense looked fantastic.
Yeah, no, our defense was incredible. We Victor Powell, number 28 for us, he was injured. He had a broken collarbone and was able to come back for the playoff run. He was a third team All-American. If he wasn't hurt, he probably should have been a first team All-American. But he was unbelievable, as well as the rest of the cast there on defense and our goalie. And that's it. I mean, those guys are big, fast, and physical. And they were able to get the ball to our offense, and we were able to score on the other end. And it was really, from defense to offense, it was almost the perfect game. And I was really proud of our guys.
Lenoir Rhine finishes the season 18-3. They hoist the national championship trophy. Coach, I thought the neat thing that they've done with lacrosse, and I think this is maybe 2 or 3 years now that they've done this, You've got the Division One semifinals on Saturday. You guys played your national championship game on Sunday, and then the D1 national championship, Notre Dame and Duke, played each other on Monday on Memorial Day, all at the same place, all at the same complex. But my question for you, the guys, you get to the national championship, it doesn't matter where you play a national championship, that already has some big game feel to it. What was it like playing in a humongous stadium, Lincoln Financial Field, home to the Philadelphia Eagles? Were you worried about your guys? I kind of think of the movie Hoosiers, and when they go and play at Butler Fieldhouse and they have to measure the goal. Did you worry any about your guys getting into that big arena or that big stadium and how they would perform?
Yeah, well, you're right. It is different. And it's funny, on Wednesday, but we traveled up to Philly on Thursday. And on Wednesday, we had a simulated scrimmage, LR versus Mercyhurst, and we pumped in crowd noise. And it was the worst 10 minutes of lacrosse we played all year long. I mean, and it really is, it's different because you can't communicate with each other. The sideline, they can't hear you in those big stadiums. So I think that was, I'm glad we did that because we were kind of acclimated to not being able to communicate. It's certainly a different feel being in those stadiums because of that. But the venue and the way Division I lacrosse does it or the NCAA with Division I, II, and III all being on the same site is incredible. And it's, you know, our guys feel a huge part of it. They're seeing the Duke guys and the Virginia guys and the Notre Dame guys, you know, walking around. It really makes our guys feel special to be a part of that weekend. And it is a special thing about lacrosse. Because it's a lacrosse festival. You know, everybody who's anybody goes up to championship weekend, and Philly was an incredible venue. You know, we were up in Hartford a couple of years ago, and it wasn't a great venue. The weather was terrible. The crowds were small, and this was the complete opposite. So I'm really glad our guys got that entire feel.
Lenore Ryan head lacrosse coach Greg Paradine joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Greg Paradine. You can follow the team at LRUMLAX. Coach, you built this program from the ground up. I was talking with some folks who know you this week, Dave Thomas, Juju Phillips, and talked about hiring you off that North Carolina staff to come to Lenore Ryan and start this program and to take it from birth to where you are now. I can't imagine how satisfying that's got to be to see a vision culminated like that. What does it feel like to really give birth to a program and take it all the way to the mountaintop?
Yeah, I mean, it was surreal because it doesn't feel that long ago that, you know, I started the program and we didn't have anything. We didn't have any balls or goals. There was nothing on campus. No players, you know, that first year. I had to recruit 30 players to start the program, and it was neat. I said in the NCAA press conference, that's sort of like watching your kids grow up.
Yeah.
You know, the first 4 years, we went from getting our tails kicked in to winning or competing in a SAC championship game. And then the next 4 years, we went to winning some SAC championship games. And then in the last 4 years, we've gone from, you know, being kind of at the top of the SAC to now being a national presence and playing in two national title games and then capping it off with the ultimate one and national championship game. So it's been an unbelievable ride, and just to credit to all those kids that have come before these guys who've really laid the foundation for our program.
A tremendous season, 18-3. Coach, I want to talk a little bit about the path to getting to the national championship. Going all the way back to February, first loss of the season was to Tampa, and you fell 9-13, and then you get a chance in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Who do you draw? Tampa. And you have to go back to Tampa. Thinking back to February and then coming back to May 10th in that first round game, you guys win 10-9 in that first round game. How were you able to look past or look back at that first game against Tampa? And I'm sure you didn't need any motivation for the guys. They beat you, and, you know, now we want to beat them. But when you saw that draw originally, did you feel good about it? Would you rather have played somebody else maybe that you hadn't had faced yet this season? Or did you feel good about getting the chance to see Tampa again and kind of getting you jump-started for a path to a national championship?
Well, it's funny. We actually were surprised. I was convinced that we were going to be at home. I thought we were going to be a top four seed, and the top four seeds get to play on their home campus. But when the seedings came out and I saw Tampa at the four, I was like, uh-oh. Mm. So then, you know, we really had to turn around, and that the seedings came out on Sunday night. We played Tampa on that Wednesday. So there wasn't much time. And we just said, hey, you know what? We're playing. We feel like we have a team that can compete for a national championship. And now we got a chance to go prove it. It doesn't matter who to play or where you're going to play. We know we're going to have to play great teams in this tournament. Let's go play LR Lacrosse. And that's what the guys did. They just, went down to Tampa. And I think being on the road for so long actually was a benefit to our guys, because we got to be in the hotels together, travel together, and spending all that time, you know, really creates a neat bond. And I think it was one of the successes to our national championship run.
Yeah, you went on the road, went at Tampa, then at Rawlings, another tough game because they were one of the top teams, and then Limestone, a team that you face that's from the SAC, and a team that beat you in the SAC championship, you get a chance for redemption against them. So two of your three losses this season, you got a chance to get redemption against them. So maybe you can get a scrimmage against Wingate. That was that other blemish. Maybe you can see if Wingate will strap it on, and maybe you guys get a chance of redemption this week, do a little scrimmage against them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you said Road Warriors, Coach. I mean, you guys really were 1,900 miles. You were the designated road team in every game that you played. So, yeah, a great chance to build camaraderie. I want to ask you a little bit about recruiting, because I know you're on the recruiting trail this morning as we talk with the head coach of the Bears, Greg Paradine. Lacrosse is spotty at best at the high school level. I know there's some team. I know St. Stephen's has lacrosse. I think Watauga has lacrosse right here in our backyard. But it's by far and away not yet the most popular, you know, sport in this part of the world. How difficult does that make it for you on the recruiting trail, having to travel? And what can you do to, you know, maybe spur more interest at the high school level of lacrosse? I mean, everybody's strapped for money. We all know that in public school system. But to get the equipment, to get teams on the field, how do you kind of build some enthusiasm and some knowledge about lacrosse at the high school level?
You know, it's really starting to grow in the area. It's funny, with St. Stephen's, I actually helped get that program off the ground.
Nice.
A few years ago, and my wife and I actually helped start a women's team over at Hickory High. My daughter played at Hickory High, and she ended up going to UNC to play there, won a national title there. And it's just a matter of really getting into schools and letting them understand the amount of opportunities that are out there for high school kids to compete in college lacrosse, both men and women. And it's a great sport. It's starting to grow here in the Southeast. We've got, I think, 16 of our players are from North and South Carolina, and some of our very best players in program history have come from North Carolina. So the growth of the game is spreading. I'm down in Atlanta right now. There's a huge tournament down here. So, it's just a wonderful game. It's got the fast-paced, physical play of football, and a lot of offense and defense similarities to basketball. So it's just a matter of people going out and seeing it. It's funny how many people in the Hickory area have been like, "Oh man, if lacrosse was in high school when I was in high school, I would have definitely played that." So it's good to see that it's starting to catch on.
I've actually thought the exact same thing. As a football player in the fall, I thought, man, if we'd had lacrosse, that would have been something I would have been interested in. You said a phrase I want to circle back around to a couple of times, whether you were talking about the program that you build at LR or the kids in your family. You've used the phrase kids, and Juju Phillips gave me some great information. You already mentioned your daughter, Mason, that went on and played at Carolina, followed in dad's footsteps, won a natty. I know your son, Emmett, is doing great things in lacrosse at Dartmouth. You've got another son, I think it's at Christ School in Asheville, that's an excellent lacrosse player. You guys recreated a family photo in front of the Bear at LR, and I don't know which son is which, but the dark-headed kid with the scowl on his face, a lot more trophies in the picture. You look great. Your wife looked great. Your kids look absolutely amazing. That had to be a fun experience, kind of a how it started versus how it's going moment.
Yeah, that's my youngest. We took the first picture in 2009, I believe, when I took the job. It was the first, and we were headed up to Lake James where my in-laws had a house.
Yeah.
And we woke my youngest up from a nap to take that picture. And he did. So, yeah, he tried to recreate that frown. But it was great. Jeremy Stalacka, our SID, and Danny Mikowski, who's, you know, does all our video. They're amazing. And they've been putting out amazing content, which is great for me because during the game, you know, it was such a blur that it's neat to go back and see all the footage and the videos and kind of refresh my memory a little bit.
Coach, I've got probably the most important question that we'll ask you today. Did you get a chance to try a Philly cheesesteak while you were up there?
About six of them. I think one of my assistant coaches had about a cheesesteak every 6 hours. He averaged a cheesesteak every 6 hours he was up there. You know, and that was neat. You know, going to Philly, our guys were able to get the entire walk. They walked around the city. There's a ton of history right there where we were staying in the hotel. Reading Terminal Market is an incredible place in downtown Philly. It's got all kinds of food and shops. So it was really neat being up in Philly and getting that, you know, Philly flavor.
Well, I'm glad you got to do that. I traveled. Our softball team, we went to NJCAA District up in Naperville, which is outside of Chicago. So I was telling everybody we're going to Chicago, and everybody asked me, did you get a chance to eat any Chicago pizza, you know, the deep dish? No, I had a thin crust wood fire pizza. That was the only place in Naperville that they had. You couldn't get the original Chicago pizza. So I'm glad you got the Philly cheesesteak. I've not visited Philly before, but I've got to get up there and get me a cheesesteak.
Yeah, absolutely. Worth it.
Coach, as we thank you for your time, we're talking with Greg Paradine, the head men's lacrosse team. I know you're out on the road recruiting. We only let you get back out there. But just as I watched that game, I mean, Ashley, Eccleston, Voss, McCracken, your goalie, I mean, Powell, Hatcher, I mean, it was just such a complete team effort for you guys. And I don't want to be that guy that says, you know, can you repeat? I remember being in Boone when Appalachian State was winning some football national championships in the early 2000s, and the ink wasn't even wet or wasn't even dry on the paper, and they said, can you repeat? So we're not going to ask that question, but I will ask this question. When you get a chance to sit down and you really reflect and enjoy this season, this national championship, what do you think will be the memory that you take from it as everyone in Hickory and Catawba County celebrates the first men's championship in lacrosse, just the second to go along with the football title at NAIA in 1960? You know, how do you think you'll remember this team? Because this one goes down in the record books as the first team to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the memory that I'll never forget is when that clock hit zero and just the joy and elation that those kids felt. I mean, it's funny, you know, in any sport, there's only one team that ends up the year that feels great about themselves, which is kind of sad when you think about it.
Yep.
But to feel that elation and see those guys with all the hard work they put in, that moment when the clock hit zero was really indescribable. And, that's something that those guys will feel for the rest of their lives. And having done it as a player at UMC, to be able to, you know, let them experience that is something that was really special to me.
Coach Greg Paradine, we thank you for your time. Everybody here in the Catawba Valley is just so thankful that you came and built this program and you've got a national championship and undoubtedly great things to come. If folks have gotten interested in this because of this interview, the entire game is posted on YouTube. If you just look up Lenore Ryan Lacrosse, you can find the game and you can watch it in its entirety. It is a fantastic lacrosse game and you'll get to see the Gatorade shower. I think it was technically Powerade at the end. But Coach Paradine, man, thank you so much. And keep taking those family photos. We love seeing them on Twitter. Best of luck the rest of the way. And, man, I hope we're talking about more championships later on. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
You got it. All right, we're going to take a timeout. On the other side, we have got more sports to talk about, and we're going to talk about a national TV appearance by this guy on Monday night. Come back and join the fun. See if Jeff can figure it out. You're listening to The Scoreboard on Kicks 103.3 in the Roof Fork Studio, brought to you by Foothills Auto Mart. It's where the Catawba Valley goes to talk sports.
Who is Bimbo Bakeries? Bimbo Bakeries is the largest baking company in the USA with over 25,000 employees, providing their employees with the opportunity to reinvent your professional career and interest. Enjoy brands that rank in popularity like Little Bites, Sara Lee Bread, Thomas English Muffins, and so much more. Our Bimbo Bakeries location in Valdez has served the Catawba Valley by delivering quality products with exceptional employees since 1915.
Melanie's Hometown Pharmacy has free delivery within Caldwell County. Now you can get your prescriptions filled and delivered from your trusted hometown pharmacist. Or you can utilize the UPS store. They've got Amazon returns, printing, notary services, even passport pictures, just to name a few. And when you do stop by, you can check out their Mel & Co. boutique with brands like Simply Southern and Judy Blue Jeans. They really do have it all, so come check out Melanie's Hometown Pharmacy at 510 Central Street in Hudson. Melanie's Hometown Pharmacy thanks you for choosing to shop locally.
Savings are stacking up at Carolina West Wireless. Get the iPhone you want and get the best deal stack of the year. This month only, save an extra $200 on any iPhone, even if it's already on sale. That's up to $600 in savings, and some models are even free. Yes, free. Plus, grab an unlimited data plan for $4 for $25 per month per line. You gotta get this deal today. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details or visit carolinawest.com/terms and conditions. Offer expires June 4th, 2023.
Did you know Burke County had 656 overdoses last year? Many of these were from opioids.
Opioid overdoses can be reversed by a life-saving medication called Narcan.
If you or someone you know is using pain medication, heroin, or fentanyl,
contact Burke Recovery for a free box of Narcan.
Disclaimer, Narcan can be used on anyone, anytime, even if it's not an overdose. It is safe. This message brought to you by Burke Recovery and the Burke Substance Abuse Network.
Weathering the storm. What does that mean to you? Well, for most people, it means hunkering down and riding it out. At Blue Ridge Energy, weathering the storm means lacing up our boots, grabbing our gear, and hitting the road. Before the skies even darken, our crews are ready to roll to keep your family safe and sound. It's how we've earned a reliability rating over 99% year after year and storm after storm. That's the cooperative difference. Learn more at BlueRidgeEnergy.com.
Helping Hands Clinic is a nonprofit medical clinic and pharmacy for uninsured adults in Caldwell County, focusing on chronic conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure, and COPD. The clinic also provides urgent care appointments, health education, and a variety of other services. Helping Hands is currently accepting new patients. To make an appointment or for more information about becoming a patient, call 754-8565.
We're not going to save it for a rainy day. It's a beautiful day in the valley.
Finally, no rain Saturday. Finally.
Yeah, it's been an uncanny streak of more rain than not for like the last 30 weekends.
It was just like it turned summer all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think we really had a spring. We had the, what do they call it, the fake spring or whatever, false spring. And then finally it was just like June 1st hit. You turn the calendar to June 1st on Thursday.
Bam.
And it was hot. It was sunny. I've spent some time outside yesterday. Got some stuff done outside. And
yeah.
It felt like summer yesterday finally. I guess, too, with the, you know, you've had graduations, but yesterday for Caldwell County, at least, the last official day of school around the area. I think Burke still goes next week, maybe.
Wilkes County graduated last night. Their seniors went to the last day in Wilkes County.
Yeah, they Watauga finished up on Thursday, their last day of classes Thursday, and then they graduated last night. But I think there's still some schools. I work with students trying to, you know, get enrolled for the fall and some taking some summer classes and all. And it's funny, some of the schools still have a week left, and I know the Burke County schools have not had their graduations yet, and so but congratulations to all the class of 2023. I think for the most part in this area, minus the Burke County schools, they've had graduations. So congratulations and best luck. Be safe.
Kenny Chesney brought us back in. Jeff, put your shirt back on. Okay. Got to get that carried away. Chris Powell, head football coach at Drum. We're going back and forth.
How about it, Captain?
He's got a boat now, yeah. And so he's out.
You know what
the
they say, you know, the happiest day in your life is when you buy a boat. The second happiest day is when you sell
when
your
you
boat.
When you sell the boat. Yeah. So Chris Powell threatening to take us out on the lake somewhere and dump us in the deep portion of it. One quick reminder, Post-29 alumni game scheduled for today. They're going to recognize former head coach Myron Day. I don't have a time listed. I've got the post shared on my Facebook, on the Scoreboard Facebook page, facebook.com/CV Blitz. It was originally posted back on May 25th. So, Jeff, are you going to try to dig out that the time of the baseball game tonight? 29ers lost last night 3-1. Stumbled out of the gate a little bit, but hey, nothing to turn the mojo around like the boys of summer and the alumni game. So, that one be an MS deal tonight. If Jeff can get the time, we'll get that to you. Shout out to Coach.
7 p.m.
7 p.m. Thank you. Thank you very much. 7 p.m. first pitch for the old guys playing baseball this summer. Thanks to Greg Paradine, head coach of Lenoir Ryan Lacrosse. And again, the game is up on YouTube. It was an exciting game. It was a great game. One thing I should have asked Coach this, but I didn't want to expose how dumb I am. You get to hit people in lacrosse with that stick. Like, I mean, you smile. They've got shoulder pads. It's not like football shoulder pads, but they smaller
similar,
version of
football. Yeah.
Very similar. You beat the fool out of those guys mm-hmm. with those sticks. And I'm like, why do you get to do that? It looks fun, but it's not
well,
like
you know,
hockey.
You know, we should have had our lacrosse resident expert.
Bryant played down at Wingate
was one of the teams that beat LR, so I'm sure Bryant wasn't real happy about Lenoir Ryan winning the national championship.
So we
should have had him. You know how a lot of these shows will bring in their experts. We should have him on retainer as our lacrosse expert.
Then we got to play Dropkick Murphy. If we bring him, I have to go back and rechange up the rejoins. A little bit of college football before we get into some television on Monday night from yours truly. We talk a lot about the ACC and the Magnificent Seven and breaking up the ACC and who's going where and grant of rights and all that. And all the while, the Big Ten and the SEC is the two-tailed dog that's wagging college football. And the SEC had their spring meetings, and for once, the SEC is following the ACC's lead. The ACC decided last year that they would end divisional play, no more Atlantic Division versus Coastal Division. It's going to be straight through, top two teams play for the championship in Charlotte. And the SEC, Jeff Link, as you pointed out in the break, they are following suit.
Yeah, they're going to go to an 8-game schedule next year, a year sooner than what was originally expected, but you have Oklahoma and Texas joining. That's so funny because that announcement was made, what, 2 summers ago?
Mm-hmm.
Is when that announcement made, and then to get them out, it was going to be 2025, but they did negotiate an exit from the Big 12, so they'll come in, those two teams, next year. But they are going to go to an 8-team schedule. You'll have one traditional rival, and then you'll play the other teams. You'll rotate the other teams that you're going to play. So that ends some of the – you know, you have with the division, and you're trying to find who that natural rival is. You know, you've got Florida and Georgia have always played, but you've also mm-hmm. you've got Georgia and Auburn have always played.
Yep.
And you've got Tennessee and Tennessee and Alabama have always played. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some of these rivalry games may get broken up if you go to that move. But just like they did with the pod system, the ACC, and how some of the traditional rivals that you had go away. But I think it's good. I wish they would have went to 9-game. There was a push in the league, and they may come back and review it in a couple years. But this is what surprises me. Georgia was pushing for a 9-game schedule, Kirby Smart, and Alabama was not. Alabama,
yeah.
And you know, you wonder about, usually you would think big bad Alabama not backing down from any challenges, but I wonder what the thinking was. And you always have that week before the season ends. It's that week leading into Thanksgiving, the weekend before Thanksgiving, that the SEC traditionally will play the cupcake schedule.
Western Carolina
Alabama. And get the big payday. And that's a little bit of a knock. And, of course, the SEC is by far the best football conference that's out there. So, yeah, give yourself a chance to take a break. But I would have really thought for the money, for the revenue, not that they need any more, I really would have thought that they would have gone to a 9-game schedule. I'd like to have seen that. I'd like to see it in the ACC. I wish we had a 9-game schedule there because it gives you one more game. You give fans. And I know the thinking is, are you going to hurt yourself nationally as far as making a playoff, but with an expanded playoff and 12 teams getting in, I don't think you hurt yourself. I think you add a little bit more value in the strength of schedule. That was what we were talking about off the air. So I think they'll get there eventually. That was what I heard Kirby Smart. And I heard a couple of Strickland, the AD at Florida. I heard an interview with him this week. And, yeah, I think we'll get there. It's just hard right now for a lot of the ADs and presidents to wrap their head around that. But I think eventually you'll see that nine game, because that does give you an extra game of inventory. It's more television revenue and more exposure for your league. And you go to 12 teams, that loss, you know, a two-loss Alabama or a three-loss Alabama is still probably going to have a chance to get into a playoff.
Well, you mentioned Nick Saban because he had advocated in the past for playing a nine-game conference schedule, and he's kind of flip-flopped on that position. And coming out of the meetings, you know, what in the interview that I read, Saban was saying that trying to schedule two out-of-conference Power Five games to improve their strength of schedule, because football schedules are made out, you know, 10 years in advance, you know, or more. And he said that he thought they would have to unwind that a little bit. So, you know, I don't know if Saban thinks he's going to get tougher conference games now, since he's, you know, you're not going to have to play, you know, just the SEC West plus the crossover game, or just the SEC East plus the crossover game. So I guess it's kind of the luck of the draw. I don't know. And the other thing is, I saw Greg Sankey say that the eight-game schedule for this coming year, they're calling it a temporary schedule. You got Oklahoma and Texas coming in, and they say they're going to push to continue the eight-game schedule going forward. But if they don't do that, what's the option? They're not going to revert back to conferences, so I don't know what they would do instead of the eight-game schedule in the ACC or in the SEC, you know?
Yeah, and then you've got some of the games, I guess, too. What you're looking at is South Carolina's always going to play Clemson.
Yeah, the ACC.
You know,
yeah,
Georgia is always going to play Georgia Tech. Florida State's always going to play Florida.
Kentucky, Louisville.
Yeah.
Yep. NC State, Alabama.
No.
NC State is playing Georgia, though, coming up in the not too distant future.
Well, I apologize.
We hope we're going to get some of those kids out of there. I did see a couple of lists this week with, I think I saw Carolina's quarterback rated as like the number two, Drake May, number two returning quarterback, only behind, I think it was Caleb Johnson from Southern Cal. So,
well, I had, and I can't recall his name, but a recruiting expert, a college football expert I was listening to this week, had him as the number one pro prospect.
Yeah, so I've seen that.
Yeah, you know, that they think Drake May's probably best built for the pro game coming out. So that's always the question with North Carolina football, can they stop anybody?
Yeah.
You're going to have a good offense, but can they stop anybody? That's been the Achilles heel, no pun intended there, for the Tar Heels.
I see what you did there. Well, and again, it might be a situation. How similar might North Carolina and Drake May look this year to NC State and Phillip Rivers' senior year, when Rivers had lost a lot of his weapons, and you might have a stud quarterback back there, but not enough weapons to get the ball to, and, you know, the offensive line in Chapel Hill has been a little bit suspect over the last two or three years. So, Mac Brown, I got a chance to see him, speak with him a couple of weeks ago. Super nice guy. You can understand in person the charisma and the charm. He's just, you know, they let Dre Bly go off that staff. They brought Gene Chizik back. It's kind of been a little bit of a revolving door, but I don't even think you can blame Carolina for that, because that's the state of college football now. One of the things that Dave Doran brags about a lot is the stability in his staff. He has kept a lot of folks together. He recently lost his offensive coordinator to be the head coach at Coastal Carolina, Tim Beck, but there was State fans probably glad to see the Tim Beck era come to a close and get some fresh blood in there, and now you've got the former Virginia quarterback Brennan Armstrong and Robert Anae coming down from Syracuse, the former Virginia OC, to reunite those guys. So, and then you got MJ Morrison, Raleigh. Don't know how that's going to work out. Great quarterback. But anyway, I'm probably getting deep in the weeds on the NC State stuff for you. Do you have any sports stuff left, either one of you guys, Carolina Panthers or otherwise, before we get into
No, we're getting into talking season.
It really is. It's talking season. Yeah. So maybe that's a good segue. So do you know what the app Be Real is?
No.
Justin, you know Be Real? Justin, not
he's young. He's hip.
I'm older than you. I've got a Be Real account. I've only got it with my wife and kids. So Be Real is this.
Hold on. Let me see. I've got to update my MySpace page here. Hold on.
Be Real is you get a notification once a day, and it could be any time during the day. And the idea is you take a picture of what you're doing right then. It's an outward-facing shot and a selfie, okay? And so the idea is Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat, it's so filtered and everybody looks perfect and everybody looks pretty. You're supposed to be real. Just whatever, are you cooking supper? Are you mowing the grass? Are you watching TV? Are you walking the dog? You're supposed
pressure.
To take a picture. And so everybody gets
too
to
much
see
pressure, man.
The real you. So I took a picture of what I was doing last night and I tagged it. I said, I'm milking that 15 minutes. So here's the 15 minutes. We're going to play a little game. Jeff, I'm going to play three songs or clips of three songs. And we're going to see if you can find the common thread. That's an alarm clock going off. We're going to find the common thread. Justin, cue up the first song for us. I bet you don't know the first two songs. Go ahead, Justin.
Wheels keep on spinning round, spinning round, spinning round. Wheels keep on spinning round.
No, but that makes me dizzy.
It's a cool song.
Wheels keep on spinning round.
Yeah, that's Cake.
Cake.
Got a little funk right here. Here.
Cake.
Like Jordan. That's the name of the band, Cake.
I've never heard of Cake.
Have you never heard of Cake?
No.
Even I've heard of Cake. They've got some pretty good songs.
Okay.
Okay, that's the end of the first song. Okay. Wheels Cake. Keep on spinning around, makes you dizzy. Okay, mm-hmm. Justin, second song on the list. Go ahead and pull that up.
It's got a 90s feel to it, a little 90s, 2000 feel to it. Wheels keep coming down. So Will is our theme here. I'm picking up on that.
That's the Foo Fighters.
That's Foo Fighters?
That's
okay.
Foo Fighters. That's a pretty good song.
Yeah, I like Foo Fighters. Yeah, that's a deep cut. But, yeah.
Now, if you're a fan of 80s and 90s country, you're going to know this one. Larry Stewart and Restless Heart had a great run. This one, I think, it was like 86, 87. Justin, let's have the last song. So, wheels keep on spinning round, wheels touching down, wheels. Can you pick the theme of these three songs?
Wheel.
Wheel. Okay, so this is, again, in the middle of talking season. It has nothing to do with sports. I just want you guys to know because it's going to be fun. A couple months back, you may remember me referencing a quick trip to California. And the reason I went to California is, believe it or not, I was a contestant on Wheel of Fortune. Star Wars Week, Wheel of Fortune. If you're a Wheel watcher, you've seen it Star Wars Week all this week. Monday night is the finale, 7:30 on Channel 6 or 36 on the local cable provider. I'm going to be with Pat and Vanna and two other, Rob Degnan, Erica Peters, the two other contestants. There are 20 of us out there in California, and we taped our episode of Wheel of Fortune, and I can't tell you how I did.
Well, it was so funny because you've posted on social media some this week, and so folks I work with, Scott Triplett, and folks are like, do you know David was on Wheel of Fortune? I was like, that was the toughest secret I had to keep because, you know, I knew about it, obviously, because you were gone, and you told Justin about it, and, you know, you said that, you know, don't say anything.
Can't tell you how I did. Yeah, I told you how I went.
Yeah,
can't tell you how
so
I did.
It was, you know, I was like, that was a tough secret to keep. So I held it in for as long as I could. So I'm glad I didn't spill the beans or spill the tea, as they say.
Spill the tea. So it was a really fun experience. Should be an interview on Kicks 103.3 Monday morning to tell you a little bit more about it. But you know, Andy Warhol is famous for saying, you know, in the future everyone will be famous for 15 minutes. So I'm milking the 15 minute cow right
now.
Well,
if you're wondering how David Jones did, he's wearing a fur coat right now. He's drinking out of a gold goblet.
You see my diamond earrings
now?
He's
got a big diamond pendant necklace that has DJ on it. And there's a tricked out Hummer out here in the parking lot. So that lets you know
it's a Power Wheel.
How he did. That kind of lets you know how he did. He either that or he had a rich uncle that passed.
That was far more likely. Yeah. Far more likely. But it was a fun experience. And I guess now the thing that I take away from it, other than the friendships, because we've really made some neat friends on the show, is I think I have the trump card now for like the ultimate icebreaker. Like, you know, what did you do?
Two lies and a truth, or two truths and a lie.
Yeah.
You know, I was on Wheel of Fortune. You know, you can play that one now.
I can play that one now.
Mine I always put in there was I was a drug dealer. Because I worked at a pharmacy.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of stretching the truth a little bit there, but that's okay. So anyway, thanks for playing along with me this morning on that one. So Wheel of Fortune, again, 7:30 Monday night on
awesome.
NBC. It was a lot of fun. And I did the daily sports update from my hotel room in Los Angeles. For the first and only time in my life, I watched SportsCenter Los Angeles in Los Angeles. I'll tell you this. I was out there in February. It was warmer in Boone than it was in L.A. When I was out there, it was cold and windy. Went to the Santa Monica Pier. That was a lot of fun. But anyway, thanks for playing along.
Yeah. Looking forward to Monday night. It's going to be fun.
It should be fun.
Yeah, we know somebody famous now, Justin.
Yeah, Dave Thomas. That's it. That's all the time we got. We got to get out of here today. NASCAR, they are at St. Louis, even though technically the race is in the state of Illinois, so I'm not actually sure how that plays out. Don't forget those guys turning left. If you saw the race on Monday, I'll close the door with this. If you saw Ryan Blaney in victory lane, you could tell how much that race meant to him. He was tearing up. Great weekend for Roger Penske. He wins the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. So great news.
Good ending to the Indy 500. I was watching that. Yeah, good ending to that. Coca-Cola 600 and Chase Elliott. They were going to suspend him. Is he back?
He is suspended. He is, let's see. Yeah, he's out this week because he wrecked Kevin Harvick. The one thing you don't hit another driver, you don't hit him in the right rear quarter panel, because that's Dale Earnhardt style, nose right into the wall. And Chase Elliott, I mean, did Harvick deserve it? Probably. Should Chase have done it that way? Probably not, because Harvick had gotten Elliott into the wall the lap before. So if you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing.
Hey, I got a deep thread. We'll give a shout out to our friends. Of course, we've had folks home from Tri-County Speedway, but they had some little rubbing and racing and some drama down at Hickory. If you follow, they did the show owner Anna Beth Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe dad or spotter got into an altercation with somebody who had rubbed her and wrecked her a little bit. So
came down all to the
So right. if you're looking for some entertainment, something to do tonight, maybe Hickory Motor Speedway. You can go watch a fight and a race will break out.
It might. I think the Cars Tour is coming through. It was in North Wilkesboro a couple of weeks ago. That's it. Thanks to Lenore Ryan lacrosse coach Greg Paradine for stopping by. Watch that game on YouTube. It was a lot of fun. Thanks to him, and congratulations to everyone at LR. Thanks to Dave Thomas and Juju Phillips for helping set that interview up. Justin Carlton's on your radio today until 4 o'clock. I'll be back with the Daily Sports Update, 6:45, 7:45, and 8:45. Be on with Dave Thomas sometime Monday morning talking about that Wheel of Fortune thing. Guys, have a tremendous weekend. It's beautiful out there. Go enjoy it. For executive producer Justin Carlton, tag team partner Jeff Link, I'm David Jones, coming at you live from the Roof Works Studio and brought to you by Foothills Auto Mart in Lenore. This has been The Scoreboard, where the Catawba Valley goes to talk sports. Keep your head in the ballgame.